The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Welcome back to the program. Today I have as my guest Pastor Jason Lee from Anthem Church in Gainesville. Pastor Lee, Jason, thank you so much for being on the program. We're excited to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
This is really great. You know, before we began this recording, I was talking about the fact that I watched your building go up, literally go up, and it is beautiful. So amazing to see this very vibrant congregation there right next to the library. And it was fun to watch the development of that. And my goodness, having been in your building the night that you hosted the FCA kickoff dinner this last August,
Yeah. That
was fantastic, man. It was beautiful in there.
Yeah, God's really blessed us with a pretty spectacular space to do ministry.
And you were mentioning to me that you have a real fondness, as do I, for FCA, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We love partnering with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and now they have a pretty amazing opportunity to be in the local schools and on campus at the University of Florida, and it's just such a privilege to partner with FCA as they take the greatest story ever told onto campuses all over the county.
You know, and I was talking just even earlier today with another FCA director he's actually in from Volusia County, and we were talking about some of the challenges that are there. FCA has this most amazing platform, and it is such a neat thing to see that in a day like today, the gospel is still being able to carry out by this student-led organization, which on the campuses, doing the huddles and thank you for what you did that night, because it was a great evening. Your place literally was packed out, wasn't it?
You know, packed to the gills. And we absolutely love FCA. I mean, their mission is to tell student athletes about the hope of Jesus. And the second part is to connect them to thriving local churches. So, man, we love being a part.
Well, thank you again for that. It was a great night. Was that the first time you ever heard Frank speak?
It was, yes. Some of our team knew what to expect a little bit more than I did, but wow, he was spectacular.
Yeah, he lit it up. He always does. And I've been a privilege to hear him a couple of other times, and it's just really great. But boy, this is really great to have you on the program. First of all, before we talk about Anthem, tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you come to know the Lord, and what part of the country did you grow up in?
Yeah, I spent the early part of my life in Michigan, way up north, way farther north than anywhere in Florida. So I spent the early part of my growing up in Michigan, and we kind of moved around. My dad actually worked for this company. Maybe if some listeners are old enough, it was Woolworth, and they had stores all over.
Oh, yeah, man. I went to Woolworths all the time and sat in their soda shop and on those stools that would spin and get the cherry Coke and the whole deal.
So some of my earliest memories are trailing behind. My dad was a district vice president and then moved around managing stores for Woolworth around the region, Midwest area. So some of my earliest memories are trailing in behind my dad, picking up stuff and straightening shelves up and stuff. My parents we've always been in church. Whenever the doors were open, we were always in church. And later on in middle school, high school, my dad was always an elder. At that time, we had relocated because of my dad's work. We'd relocated to the Indianapolis area, right there in the middle of Indiana. And so I spent all of high school there. My dad was an elder, and we just spent a lot of time going into church. And it was those years that really solidified a faith of my own early on in high school. There was some bumps along the way. You know, I like probably a lot of people, maybe either they have kids or teenagers that are trying to work out what faith of their own looks like. from being handed down from their parents. And I definitely had a season where I was figuring that out late in high school. But man, I had some of the most impactful moments of my life were because a student pastor that we had at the time really pursued me and bought me great Chinese food and let me ask any kind of question under the sun. And in those moments, I had spent most of my young and teenage years thinking I was going to be an engineer. I just loved strategic thinking and math was always easy for me. And I just really thought that was the pathway for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, some of those hard questions I had about the scriptures and about faith and trying to make sense of all that stuff. This youth pastor I had in high school really leaned in and helped me navigate those conversations. And so after I attended Purdue University for a year to be an engineer, I don't know if you're familiar with Purdue way up in Indiana.
I'm very much. I'm from Evansville, so I know exactly where it is.
You know.
Yeah.
So I went to engineering school for a year, and in that process, God just really got a hold of my heart. And I wanted to do for other students first what this youth pastor did for me. It helped me really develop a faith of my own and take Jesus and the Bible seriously. And so God just, I wouldn't necessarily say miraculous, but I think anytime God intersects humans is somewhat miraculous. But so I transferred to a Christian college. I actually went to Cincinnati Christian University from Purdue, right there in the middle of Cincinnati, right in the heartbeat of the city, and studied youth ministry first, because I just wanted to help affect the lives of other students and help introduce them to Jesus.
That's a wonderful thing to do and a wonderful motivation. And, you know, you talk about this discipleship that happened with that one guy in your life over, I think you said Chinese food. I am amazed at how Chinese effective food. It is to add either Chinese food or pizza to the discipleship program.
Yeah. It's so true. And one of the things he did that was so valuable that I still to this day think about is, I think so often as especially young adults and college age, high school age people, and even adults, maybe people tuning in might be having questions or doubts about faith or things they read in scripture. He didn't turn those questions away. He really set the table for me to have conversations and to be open and wanted to help me figure out answers to those questions and didn't, you know, shove things down my throat, but we went on a journey together to discover the answers to some of those questions and stepped into the tensions. And I really think it's, you know, kind of a sad thing that as people have those kind of doubts and questions, or the buzzword nowadays is deconstruction. And it seems like people have a tendency to turn away from the church. And I just hope, I just want to try to create places where people can be a part of the church and it can be the safest place to have spiritual significant conversations.
Exactly. I agree with you completely, Jason. And, you know, I have heard of a number of people who have gone through this with their kids who are deconstructing their faith. And on one hand, they act like, or they're saying that they're not necessarily saying that they don't believe in God, but they are questioning almost everything about the local church and the purpose for the local church. And it really is a sad thing. And I just think it's worth noting that even with the wonderful, strong family background, and I know you guys weren't perfect, but your mom and dad obviously did a lot of great things, took you along. You're always in church. And a guy like you who had, you know, you hit that bump in the road time that most everybody goes through, you know, it does stands to reason that anybody that wouldn't even have that kind of a strong background, they're going to hit those bumps as well. Happens to so many people. And that's where you just got to realize that God's plan is greater than all of this. And as we're seeing the importance of discipleship, it really made a big difference in your life to have somebody to talk through all of those things with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing that was such a learning for me now in hindsight in so many years is just the relationship there that he pursued with me that allowed me to have the platform to have those conversations and not to be having those conversations with, you know, we didn't even have it back then, but the Facebook crowd and things happening on social. And I actually had a person to navigate that stuff with me as I was developing a faith of my own. And, you know, my parents would have gladly had those conversations with me, but as a high schooler, man, it was so much more impactful to have that other voice in my life, to have those and process those things mm-hmm. as they were happening.
I think it's great to have both a parent that will be involved and be right there with you and answer. But we also benefit, like you've said, from another voice, another aspect. And I just yeah. believe that's the way the kingdom is supposed to be working. And what I yeah. when I read your bio, I have to tell you that one of the most exciting things that I read on it was the fact that you love the local church and that you have a love yeah. for, you know, I'm pretty convinced yeah. that there are a lot of pastors who would not share even that same sentiment. And not really, not in their heart yeah. of hearts. And I think it's wonderful.
I think it's a sad thing that that has happened in our culture because of, you know, we're all human and we all make mistakes and none of us are perfect. But as the world is now, there's like a natural distrust of institutions and the church has gotten lumped into that. And there's really been some very terrible things that have happened for sure that have happened in churches. But I'm just a little bit old school in some of those ways that I'm one of those guys who just believes the local church is the hope of the world. And I think I think while it is led by people like myself and those of us who are pastors, none of us are perfect, but man, I just have seen the beauty and the power of what happens with authentic spiritual community. And man, when the local church is healthy and working right, there's just nothing like it on the whole planet.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, while we're not perfect and there's no church that's perfect, we do have a perfect Savior.
Absolutely.
And he's got a plan, and that plan is a good one, without a doubt. Now, you're also a dad. You've got a couple of kids. Tell us about your wife and kids.
Yeah. I actually married, we'll call it high school sweethearts. I was actually a freshman in college, and my wife was a senior in high school. When we started dating, so kind of high school sweethearts. But yeah, we've been married for 17 years now, and we have two daughters, 11 and 8. So I'm a girl dad.
I hear you. And I've got my first was a daughter, and then a son, and then two more daughters. So we have the girls outnumbering us guys. In the words of my son, when he was a little boy, he said, "Dad, what are we going to do with all these girls?" And it's the way it has been.
That is very true in my house.
Oh, my goodness.
Me and the three ladies.
That's wonderful.
I always tell my wife, God just knew I understood females so well that he blessed me with some incredible ones.
Now, you listed down three things, which I related with all of them. Number one, you enjoy a good movie with your wife, watching it on Netflix or whatever. A long conversation. This really made you one of my best friends, man. A long conversation over coffee. Yeah, a good cup of coffee. And my question is there really a bad cup of coffee? I'm not sure. Maybe there is.
Maybe. Depends on the time of day. Sometimes it can be a bad cup of coffee,
right.
And
you enjoy watching football.
I do. I am a football fan.
Now, would that be Gators, or are you a particular NFL fan as well?
I don't know how much I should share about this.
Okay.
Depending on my Central Florida audience here, but I'll tell you a funny story about me on my literally first Sunday at Anthem here in Gainesville, the literal heartbeat of Gator country.
Yes.
So I all my formative years were in Michigan, and I have a lot of family who attended the University of Michigan. And so I am a Michigan Wolverines football fan.
Oh.
And that has been unchanging for me. And so my very first Sunday on staff at Anthem, I was in front of the church, and I just had to come clean that very first Sunday and told everybody, "Look, everybody, I love you and I'm here to serve this city and be for Gainesville. But I am not a Gators fan." And everyone booed me, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
As well they should have.
As well they should have. But I said, but hey, can we just all agree to dislike Urban Meyer? Because at that time he was formerly the Ohio State Buckeyes coach.
Mm-hmm, right.
And everybody cheered at that point because we could all have a mutual dislike.
Well, you probably won them back in one fell swoop right there.
I did win them back.
Yeah.
But no, even that, it's just been a joy to live in Gainesville. We love major football and athletics. And I always tell people it's such a joy to expose my kids to like the incredible athletics, especially as girls, to be able to go see women's soccer or women's basketball and volleyball and have my kids just be utterly inspired by these women who are doing pretty incredible things.
I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but you need to check out one of the gymnastics nights there.
I know we missed it. You know, COVID put like a little wrench in some of our plans here over the last couple of years, but it's definitely on our list. I've heard it's a really great time.
It's a lot of fun to go there. And we my wife and I really love it. And she was never a real big college football fan until we moved to Gainesville, and then she became a real fan. So yeah, we love them. I mean, as long and it's great for you in Michigan, so long as you weren't mentioning the Noles, I think everybody in Gainesville, they'd be fine with that.
No, I always tell people, like, it's, you know, we're in the Big Ten up north, and I'm so happy to cheer for the Gators down here in SEC country.
Oh, that's really great, and I'm glad to hear that. You know, it is so great to talk to people who really understand Big Ten. That's where I grew up, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, living up there in Indiana, but we're SEC people for sure. You are part of Anthem Church. In our next segment, we're going to dive a little bit more in that. But tell us real quick about the kind of the origin of the church in this segment, if you will. Tell us how Anthem started.
Yeah, Anthem was actually planted out from North Point Ministries based out of Atlanta, Georgia. Andy Stanley, who is Charles Stanley's son, started North Point Ministries many years ago. And in 2008, they went through a series of helping new churches get started. And one of those was Anthem Church in Gainesville, Florida. So North Point came alongside. Chad Clemens was the founding pastor's name, and a group of people, and they planted Anthem Church right here on Tower Road in Gainesville, Florida. Mm. And ever since day one, it's been a strategic partner of North Point Ministries. So right from the beginning, it was Andy Stanley was piped in as the primary teaching pastor on video. At the time, it was in the early days, it was recorded video because of the technology. And fast forward to today, we actually are a simulcast site. So we're live with Andy Stanley teaching on that Sunday. We're on a 15-minute delay or so.
Yeah. Well, that's a really great thing. Now, is that via like a stream? Is that what that is? Or a, more of a direct hookup than that?
Yeah, it's a non-public kind of, like, there's a box back in our control room that connects via fiber to what they have going in the Atlanta area.
Oh, that's great. My guest today is Jason Lee, Pastor Jason Lee from Anthem Church. We'll be back with him in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Hey, we're here today. On the phone with me is Pastor Jason Lee from Anthem Church in Gainesville. We are so happy to serve the Gainesville area in the Shepherd Radio Network over radio station WTMN, 1430 AM and also 96.3 FM. And, you know, this place where your church is located, it's a major north-south corridor on the west part of Gainesville that I lived off of. Lived right off of Tower Road. So as we mentioned
busy road.
It's a very busy road. And thank goodness they finally paved that road up, because you used to have some bumps all up and down any trip up and down that road, but it's a lot better now. So you were telling us a little bit about the makeup of Anthem and how that you're now receiving a stream. It's a piped in, like you said, a simulcast from Andy Stanley. And a lot of churches across America started doing this a number of years ago and referring to the different locations as campus churches. How has that worked out in the history of Anthem for you?
Yeah, it's a little bit of an interesting model because Anthem is an independent local church. So we have our own board. We handle finances right here in Gainesville. We're an autonomous church, but we just have a strategic partnership through North Point. Now, North Point up in Atlanta, they do also have campuses that fall under their board of directors and leadership. But North Point has kind of been innovating in this model a little bit through strategic partnership. And at this point, I don't know when this will air, but at this point, there's about 250 strategic partners as part of the North Point Partner Network. Now, all of those don't leverage Andy. We're one of only a handful that have a simulcast of Andy Stanley. Some are just linked and synced up and other types of resources through the network, being coaching and all of that kind of stuff. But that branch of North Point is called North Point Partners. And it's, you know, for us and our team, it's an incredible resource. We get access to some of the best forward thinking, frontline coaching and church leadership that is on the planet, really. And all of our friends at North Point are so gracious with their time and resources and really help us to go further faster.
Now, all of the other aspects of your Sunday morning worship service would be happening live, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's Andy is live on video for the teaching portion, but everything else, we do, you know, we have a local staff for kids and students. And myself, I'm up in front hosting most services, live worship and music and all our environments. Really what it affords us to be able to do is to be more local and for me to have my time freed up more than some, you know, senior lead pastors that are spending 40 plus hours a week in sermon prep. I can now channel all of that time into leading our staff and connecting and pastoring people here locally and leveraging the amazing teaching content that Andy brings us.
Now, with other type of services that you would have in the course of a year, you do some teaching and preaching in some of those services, I would imagine, correct?
We do. Yeah. It's generally about 35 Sundays a year is Andy, and then the other ones are taught locally. So we'll do... it kind of works out to where we'll do a Andy Stanley series that we'll sync in with, and then we'll do a few weeks local where some of our staff team are communicating.
And what kind of worship team approach do you employ?
Yeah, it's ever since the beginning, we wanted to do church for unchurched people. In fact, our vision is to create a church that people who don't like church love to attend. So where everything we design and think about are from our facility to what we say on the stage, all of those things are designed for people who aren't church people to get exposed to the life and hope and teaching of Jesus Christ and reorient their lives into not believing the right stuff, but following. And so we've created environments on Sunday that whether you know church stuff or you don't, you can feel comfortable to engage, have helpful content. And one of the things that we talk about is being irresistible. Like in the early days of faith, the faith community was irresistible. Like it just grew exponentially because of the hope and the love and the life of Jesus. And we want to create environments that are irresistible. So if you don't have a clue about who Jesus is, we try to create a space that you're going to enjoy it. And you're going to, whether you like what the music is about or not, who knows what that is going to be, but man, we really think that you're going to walk in and love the experience you have. The band's going to sound great. It is like a full band with lighting and we use a haze machine and, it can be pretty loud. But our whole target is so that unchurched people, we call them, or people who don't like church would find it attractive and even want to come back and want to bring a friend and keep discovering who this Jesus is. And along the way, we really hope that there are, you know, I always say to our churched people in the room that we really hope people would buy into that vision enough to want to come alongside of us and that people would want to leverage those weekend services we create for us to help them reach their friends for Jesus.
Now, you know, it sounds like you're very evangelistic and that. So it sounds what I'm hearing you say when you talking about your fashioning, it's not that you're compromising the Word of God at all, but instead you're just wanting the joy of the Lord and a comfort level of making this to be something that would be attractive to someone that doesn't yet know Jesus, with the goal that they're going to know the Lord.
Absolutely. Our mission statement is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. So in a lot of ways, we talk about it like this, that we boldly celebrate Jesus and are hopefully attracted to people far from him. And mm-hmm. I think that encompasses kind of how Jesus lived and breathed and walked around on the planet. Is people were attracted to him because of what he taught. And we really believe that people want to get life right. Like, whether you think that that's found in Jesus or not, like your random normal person going to work every day is trying to figure out how to be a better husband, how to be a better dad, and how to handle their finances better. And we just really think, as you start following the ways Jesus designed life to work, those things are going to start turning in your life, and you're going to start discovering the source of all that. The reason that all works is because Jesus, God, created you in this way to have a relationship with a Father and a Savior.
You know, on one hand, I think a lot of people would all believe that every church should be exactly what you're saying, and yet we know that in practice, that's really not the truth. What do you think it is, Jason, that keeps some churches from expressing outwardly to people that come in their doors this kind of joy, this kind of hope, and even the expression that we mentioned in segment one that you had, where you see the local church as the hope of the world? I mean, that is a powerfully positive statement, and I think it's wonderful. But what do you think what's the deal? Why aren't all churches seeing that?
Well, I think a couple things come to mind when you ask that. One, kind of the root of this whole movement of churches with North Point, and there were some others before, you know, that were dreaming about, could church more effectively reach people with the good news of Jesus? And, you know, those innovations for us, it always hooks into Acts 15:19, which is a verse that like is just kind of an anchor for us. And that's where he's saying, let us not make it difficult for the Gentiles turning to God. And that's all in this context and paragraphs of them having conversations in the early church about the people who followed Moses and their rites needed to be part of faith. And Paul just kind of boldly is declaring what we should all be about and make the big deal the big deal and not make it difficult for people to turn to God. And I think for me, I spent my literal whole adult, I don't remember a time not being a part of churches. Like I've gone through the whole gamut, from hard pews to soft pews to theater seats to everything in between. I've been there. And I think in some ways, churches throughout for a long time can get tied and get connected to the means, getting entangled with the mission. And we're all guilty of that. Like, we can be connected to this thing we love that at one time was incredibly effective, mm-hmm. but then we get so connected to it, it becomes less and less effective over time. It's just can be a little scary to reevaluate, for us. And it's, you know, this is just the way we've chosen to do it and have seen God be amazingly faithful. For us, it's all the way down to the details of if you attended Anthem on a Sunday 3 weeks in a row, every single week you'd hear me or somebody like me stand up and say, hey, if it's one of your first times, here's what you can expect today. We're going to be here about this long. Like, here's an environment designed just for you to ask questions. And now to your person who comes every week, they're kind of like, who's a church person who's all in, or like, why are you saying this every week? But that we say it every week because we really believe every Sunday is somebody's first Sunday, and we're going to design environments so that person who doesn't have a clue about who Jesus is, that, man, if they give us an hour on a Sunday where they just happen to walk in or get invited by a friend, it is such a privilege and an opportunity for us to steward. And we think that's a God-given mission, that we would steward those moments well.
That's a wonderful viewpoint. You know, the day in which we live is so full of division and a lot of skepticism, and the cancel cultures affected so many churches across the country. How do you feel that things are for you guys there in your reach into the community in Gainesville? How do you feel that this culture is making an impact? Do you feel that it's more difficult today than what it would have been, say, 10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. I mean, there's no doubt that things are, especially the last few years we've had here with a presidential election and a global pandemic and racial tensions. Like, I mean, it's been a pretty tense little run. And one of the mantras we've hung on to is that we just keep saying that we're for Gainesville. Like, we're for every person, kid, Democrat, Republican, independent, libertarian, like, mask advocate, unmask advocate, vaccine advocate, no vax. Like, we are for every single person. And through this season, I mean, it's been a challenge to stay in that space. I think we're compelled. I think all of us Jesus followers should be compelled in that, because Jesus didn't come to align with our political views. He came to be a king, and he came for the allegiance, to take our allegiance above any other kind of view or statement or stand. So I 100% agree with you. I think this it's been a tense kind of run. And absolutely, I've felt pressure leading a church through this season from both sides. Like, I was just laughing with a buddy having a coffee actually today, earlier, just telling him that, man, it's not uncommon in this season to have people waiting for me after church, and they say the complete opposite thing, one right after another. The first person, you know, like, oh man, we should really crank it down on the mask. And then the next person is like, oh, like, masks are the worst. Like, so it's been an easy season to not be joyful doing church. And the sad reality is, I have friends, and the statistics are bearing it out now, that there are a lot of pastors who are hanging it up and don't want to be in ministry anymore, which is very sad, very, very sad. But, you know, we're just trying to keep rolling and keep believing that, just like what, you know, I keep saying, that the local church is the hope of the world, and it's God's plan. And I think the thing through this season that might grieve God the most is how Jesus prayed for unity for his church while he was here, in unity for believers. And I think our whole world is seeing churches not be unified, and seeing us get in fights about things. And I just, it's the thing I pray about all the time, that if God would use me to be a unifier in churches and with pastors, I would count it an absolute joy and privilege to do that, because I think the stakes are always have been, the stakes are incredibly high, and the hope we carry is the greatest hope that has ever been on the planet. And if we can, as we should, spend our limited time here while we're here telling people about the greatest thing that's ever happened in the world and for the world.
He is indeed that. There was a book a number of years ago by Chuck Swindoll called, I think it was called either Hand Me Another Brick or Pass Me Another Brick. Can't recall the title, but in there he made the statement that Christians are the only group that he knows of that shoot their wounded. And that statement, it seems so strange to me when I first read that years ago. I couldn't quite understand. But then as I grew and became a pastor and saw things, I began to realize that there's a lot of truth to what he was saying, a lot of experiences that so often Christians can become divided, not only against the world, but sadly against each other in the church. And that is something we should really be on the watch for.
Absolutely.
My goodness. Pastor Jason Lee from Anthem Church is my guest today. We'll be back with him in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. I'm on the line today with Pastor Jason Lee, lead pastor at Anthem Church. You know, this has been a really anticipated Christmas season for me for two reasons. Number one, last year, we all know 2020 and the Christmas season, that was probably one of the more difficult one from the standpoint of all the businesses and people who were affected from the pandemic. But an interesting thing, on the 16th of December last year, I came down with COVID myself.
Oh, no.
And on the 24th and on the 25th, I was sicker than I'd have ever been in my life. I had 104 both days. And it was a mess, man. So I've been looking forward to Christmas this year with a different and more excited outlook than what I could have even imagined this time last year. But tell me what's been going on as we're in Christmas week now this week, and we're almost there. What's been going on in Anthem Church?
My father-in-law always says this is when all the non-season ticket holders come out to church. So it's big time. But no, I mean, we're so thankful in this season after the hard couple years we've had at these holidays. Man, Christmas is the best. For those of us who are Jesus followers, it's really the moment where God's promise is fulfilled, like thousands of years of promise. Like, we can see this moment where this baby enters the world. And that's what we've been talking about around Anthem for the last couple weeks with our teaching pastor, Andy Stanley, has been in a series called The Day After Christmas. And it's just this idea of, like, you know, on Christmas Day, the baby comes, but then the day after Christmas, like Jesus, just the reality, I kind of was mentioning a little bit of this in the previous segment, but just the reality that Jesus didn't come to merely be a sin forgiver. Jesus came to be a king. And that's what people soon found out is, and, you know, even unpacking some of Jesus Christ, you know, humorously, like, Christ isn't Jesus's last name, but Christ is actually a title.
The title.
And people in the first century would have seen that title, and it would have been very political. And which is why we see through the Christmas story, Herod, who was the ruler at the time, was very threatened by the arrival of Jesus. And that wasn't because Herod was not religious, that he was threatened by Jesus because of the kingship. He was threatened because Jesus threatened his power. And I think Christmas should remind all of us that the day after Christmas is an invitation for all of us to not, you know, believe the right things, participate in the right things. And I've loved this. Andy's talked us through in a couple different weeks, just the reality that even Herod participated in a lot of the right Jewish customs and believed some of those right things. But when it came to Jesus and the invitation not to believe the right stuff, but to follow a king, that's where it got a little more tense. And I think it's a great reminder for all of us is just to ask all of us to ask that question every morning. Is like, Jesus came to be king. Is he my king? Is he our king? And what are the implications of that in our life?
It really seems that it also points to the fact that we can put all of our eggs, if you will, all of our excitement in life on a one event thing or a one day thing like Christmas. But there is a day after, and life is going to go
on.
And that's where reality is, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's where, you know, the day after Christmas when Jesus is born, and now what, you know? Like, now we're going to school and going to work and, like, living our lives. And, like, Jesus on that Christmas didn't come to just be an asterisk in our lives or an afterthought or the thing we add on extra when it's a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he came for our whole lives and to have our whole allegiance. And so that really is the invitation of the day after Christmas, is for our allegiance to be to Jesus Christ.
That's beautiful, man. Jason Lee, if you've just tuned in, is my guest from Anthem Church in Gainesville, right on Tower Road, right next to the library there. And, you know, this is such a beautiful season, a time of season. And I really love the Christmas songs that kind of point to some of the things that you're talking about, because of the fact that there's a lot of truth in the hymns of Christmas that really do point not just to the event itself, but to our life and to the purposes for which Jesus came.
Absolutely. Yeah. I believe the Sunday before this airs, we sang the hymn, "O Holy Night," in our services. And I mean, that song just forever reminds me, the bridge, you know, fall on your knees. It just reminds me of allegiance and our hope in Jesus.
That's beautiful. Now, I know you were a worship leader yourself at one point, right?
I was. I actually spent a lot of years helping to create those experiences and lead worship. And it's been fun to be on the other side of some of those planning tables, not the one always leading the worship, but helping to plan and program it.
Now, were you an instrumentalist as well, or did you lead only from singing standpoint?
Singing and guitar is mostly.
All right. So you're a guitarist, man.
I am. It's you're letting the cat out of the bag here.
Well,
on the radio, there's not a ton of people that even know that about me. So look out.
Now you're going to get to be called on for all the men's breakfast. They're going to want to hear Pastor Lee, man.
I know.
That's awesome. Break out the guitar. You know, it's funny that you would mention "O Holy Night" because that happens to be my number one favorite Christmas song.
Because
I'm convinced that could be used year round.
I agree.
It's not just a Christmas, but it was a holy night.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this season just reminds us, you know, all of us who are working in churches and are followers of Jesus, it just reminds us why we do what we do and our hope. And it's just such a wonderful season to gather. And I love just the opportunity to read these stories to my children. And it just feels so connected to like the thousands of Jesus followers who've come before us. And just an amazing time of year.
Well, it is indeed. And I'm praying that everyone there in Alachua County, as well as for those of us that are in the different cities of the Shepherd here, will all experience a very special Christmas season for 2021. And already we've got a leg up on all of what we were doing last year. We know that
there's no doubt.
No doubt about that. And we're grateful to God. We're praying for health for everyone. And, you know, this whole thing, I'm really intrigued still by the title of Andy's series, "The Day After Christmas." Another aspect of really application that I see from that title is the fact that we need to be looking forward, not just that we will have to look forward, but we do need to look forward to what is coming in this new year. And that's something that I believe is not only our duty, but I think it should be our privilege as believers, because we know how this story is ultimately going to end, regardless of how bad things may be in our country and the cancel culture and to mask or not to mask and all of those things. They're all going on, all right. But the truth of it is we need to be looking forward looking. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's the invitation for all of us is, I think Andy said something like this. I won't exactly quote him, but to follow Jesus is to participate in his kingdom agenda right here and now, not someday. And I think, you know, some of us grew up in church traditions where it was all about heaven one day and saying the right prayer and doing the right thing so that you can get into heaven. And now we just bide our time until we get there. But I think Christmas reminds us, and, you know, that idea of the day after Christmas is an invitation to follow Jesus by participating in his agenda in the world right now, right here, right every single day when we go to work, when we play wherever we play, where we go to school. Like that's the invitation. It's not that just Jesus is a sin forgiver ticket to heaven, but an inviter and leader into our daily lives and inviting us in to participate in his kingdom and to the restoration of all things right here and right now.
I believe it. I love it. What do you say, Jason, as a pastor, to people right now, because we know that one sad thing about this week is that so often as Christmas approaches to a lot of people, this thing of depression and gloom and sadness, it for some people, it just increases. What advice do you have for people who really have been kind of mired down, perhaps, in some thoughts that aren't positive and they're negative and they're actually harmful to their lives? What advice do you have?
Well, one, I would just say, man, I am such a huge advocate for mental health professionals and great counselors, and we fully endorse and support. There's even counselors, if somebody's listening around Alachua County, around Gainesville, we have counselors, mental health professionals that actually meet in office out of our facility right there on Tower Road. We're on a bus stop in the library. If somebody wants to get connected to those, they can just go to anthemchurch.com, and we would love to help people get connected if they're really going through some stuff, that they could talk to somebody that has some faith in Jesus, but also like very well educated and trained in mental health professionals. But second, I just say, man, no matter what's going on in people's lives, that Jesus really is absolutely, Jesus is absolutely the hope of the world. And I really believe, I've said it 100 times, that the local church is the hope of the world. And that's not only because of the message we carry, but because of how we carry it. And that's in community with others. I don't think we were designed to live alone. And I think even going back all the way to Adam and Eve in the garden, what happened with some of the mistakes and choices that were made were in isolation from community. And I think if all of us probably were honest enough, we'd think back on our biggest regrets and mistakes. And a great majority of those happened by ourselves alone. And that's just would be one of my encouragements to people going through some really hard stuff that is absolutely real to them, that they would find people and places to be connected in community, and to find other people to talk to and to not go through a season like this alone, because wherever you're listening, I would almost guarantee that there's a great church and a great community of people that would love to love on them.
Hmm. What's happening for 2022 with Anthem?
Yeah, we're really excited. There's some cool stuff kind of brewing in the future. We haven't fully announced it yet, but we're going to do some things called Business Breakfast coming up, where we're going to be bringing in some nationally known speakers and authors to gather the local business community to just get better and be for one another. We've got some great teaching content on the weekends. Man, what our kids and student environments have going. Any parent listening to this that doesn't have a community of faith where their kids are being taught the amazing things, the truth of who Jesus is and how that impacts their daily life at an age-appropriate way, I would just absolutely encourage you to find a place where your kids are doing that. And we're really excited. Our whole church is built around circles, we call it. Our little catchphrase is circles are better than rows. And we can fill rows on Sundays and listen to great communication, but there's nothing like being in a circle. So whether it's all the way down to our preschool environments, our elementary, our middle school, our high school, and all of our adults, our hope is every person would be in a circle of other people trying to figure out how to do life and follow Jesus. So we're really excited about what's going to be coming on with all of our circles. We have a brand new groups director that's coming on our team that's really going to get rolling in January, that's going to help lead our community groups and do amazing things. So we're really excited about what's next. And I've said it too many times, but I'll say it again. I really believe the local church is the hope of the world, and can't wait to see how God shows up this next year.
That's beautiful, man. And what's your web address?
Yeah, you can go to anthemchurch.com and find out every right there, see all the series Andy has taught previously. There's some amazing stuff that he's gone through in this last year. You can see the whole archive of all that, and you can actually stream our service live right there on anthemchurch.com. You can also find us on Instagram with it, which is just anthemchurch_FL for Florida, and on Facebook, Anthem Church.
Wonderful. Pastor Jason Lee from Anthem Church, thanks for being with me today.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. It's been a joy.
Well, thanks. And friends, we'll see you next time. Have a good day. Thanks for listening to The Shepherd.